Philippians 2, 19 to 24, New Living Translation. And Jenny Brown is going to read for us. Jenny.
Philippians 2, verse 19 to 24. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly.
Good morning, everyone. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring a brief word to you this morning. As you know, we had a series of inspiring speakers on the book of Philippians into December last year, and I take up the baton, so to speak, and we'll continue from Philippians 2, 19 to 22. Just a brief word of prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share a word, your word, Lord. I pray, Father, indeed it will be your word, not mine. And I pray, Father, that those who hear, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, you'll apply your word to their hearts and to their lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, share briefly with you. Okay, so my topic is modeling the Christian walk. And the simple definition of the word modeling is demonstrating how something should be done. And since I will be focusing on role models, a definition of a role model is someone who models or demonstrates a pattern of positive behaviors and attitudes in everyday life situations. And indeed, we need more role models. Now, what should we look for in a model Christian congregation? And what should we look for in a model Christian leader? Some examples in terms of the congregation would be that perhaps the congregation loves to praise the Lord, or they love to go out and evangelize. And in terms of the model Christian leader, it could be that, you know, he's regarded as a great preacher, or he loves reaching out to the local community, engaging with them. Now, all these things focus on what people do. But the problem with that is that people may do things that don't reflect their character. So perhaps we should look a little bit more deeply at not so much what people do, but what they are and who they are in Christ ultimately. Let's look at some people who do things as a direct result of having a spirit-transformed character. I would like to explore with you the parallels between the Philippian brethren as model servants of God and Timothy, Paul's protege, Paul's assistant, as a model Christian leader. I want you to remember that the Philippians were just as persecuted as any other church. Paul's teachers were trying to entice them in Paul's absence, but they remained steadfast, loving, faithful, obedient, and generous. And speaking of generosity, Paul wrote to the Philippians as a direct response to a generous gift they sent to him whilst he was imprisoned in Rome. Now, no church is perfect, but this Philippian church, is this a model church that we can all learn much from? And I really believe that we could benefit from these role models. And a model church is a great example to us. Now, we're looking at Philippians 1, 3 to 5, and I would like you really to have a look at the language that Paul uses here. Paul says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy." I think every pastor in the world would like to write such a letter to their congregation. This is reflecting Paul's heart. Paul goes on, "Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." And three descriptive words come out from all this for the Philippians. First of all, Paul is saying they are reliable. Next is saying that they are faithful, and they are also consistent. They're also consistent. And we move on to Philippians 4, 15 to 18. Paul writes here, "As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the gospel," that is the good news, "and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once." Here, as a pastor, Paul was more concerned with not so much the gift of money, helpful and useful as it was, but with the revelation of the fruits of the Spirit within the Philippian brethren. This, from a pastor's perspective, is an indication of spiritual growth. In Matthew 7:16, Jesus says, "You shall know them by their fruits." And he was really talking about people that weren't particularly good, but "you shall know them by their fruits" works also for the good, and certainly applies to the Philippians. But has Paul always written such beautiful, positive letters to the church? No. In contrast, Paul had some stinging words for the Galatians in Galatians 3:1. Why? Because they wanted to swap the grace that God, that Christ had died to bring us, for a return to the law. He called them foolish. He said, "You foolish Galatians." But there is only love and tenderness for the Philippians. What about the Corinthians? Now, the Corinthians were a blessed church in terms of the gifts of the Spirit. They had, you know, variety of tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of healing. But then they started to argue amongst themselves as to who had the best gift. Now, instead of being grateful to God and humble and thankful, they started arguing. So of course, Paul had to come in. And in 1 Corinthians 3:3, Paul says, "You are still worldly. For since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly?" But Paul expressed confidence later on in this very letter that a disagreement between two women in the Philippian congregation would be quickly resolved. Such was his confidence. Such was his confidence in the Philippian brethren. So, what distinguished the Philippians from other churches? I could have come up with a whole list of criteria on which to judge them, really. But four of them come to mind. They are faithfulness to God, humility in serving, obedience to the word of God, and whether or not they demonstrate a transformed mind. Now, I felt that these four criteria were representative of spiritual role models. So I'm going to assess the Philippian brethren based on these four criteria and also what Paul has said about them. Now, in terms of faithfulness to God, they reflected God's heart of generosity, the Philippians. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. They had a giving spirit. In terms of humility in serving, they did not do any of what they did for reward. They were happy to serve, showing a servant spirit reflecting the heart of Christ. The Spirit had prompted them with regard to the obedience to the word of God. The Spirit had prompted their actions and they were obedient. Their fruits reflect their spiritual state. Finally, in terms of demonstrating a transformed mind, their minds were not conformed to the patterns of this world, but transformed by the Spirit and set on the things of God. Let's move on to Timothy as an example of a model Christian leader. And we're going to use these same criteria, these same measures of success to determine if indeed Timothy is an example of a Christian leader we can all learn from. Paul mentions the name Timothy as someone whom he has great confidence in. But who is Timothy? The name Timothy is in Greek actually means honored by God. Now the Bible often shows that a name is significant because it reveals a person's character or destiny. For example, Jacob, God changed his destiny and changed his name to Israel. And in the New Testament, there was the name of a young man called Saul. His name was Saul. God changed his name to Paul, changed his character, and changed his destiny. So we are going to look at a picture depicting what Paul learned about Timothy's past. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. This picture is many years before Paul first met Timothy and his mother and grandmother, who passed on their sincere faith to Timothy. They were Jews, by the way. The name Eunice, that's Timothy's mother, in Greek means good victory. So we have someone who was granted good victory by God, who then go on to produce someone who was honored by God. Now, Timothy actually had a Greek father who was absent for reasons unknown. But from a typical Greek point of view, Timothy was nerdy. He's a bit of a nerd. He studied the scripture as a good Jewish boy, learning whole passages and books by heart. But he was sickly, lacking confidence, socially awkward, and not at all athletic. And the Greeks loved their athletes, as we know from the Olympics. So, many years later, Paul actually met Timothy as an adult Christian minister. And by then Timothy had a great reputation in the gospel. So Paul, an unmarried, childless shepherd of the sheep became fatherless Timothy's spiritual father, taking him on mission trips and mentoring him over many years. Paul took Timothy as a son, discipling him, praying for him and with him, and setting him the example of humility, obedience to God, and a fearless determination to spread the gospel. We all need our mentors, don't we? So, I think this is important. So let me tackle something here. Showing godly humility does not mean you are a pushover, as the world seems to see it nowadays. Jesus Christ is our pattern, and he was never a pushover. Christ demonstrated godly humility. Godly humility is strength under the control of the Holy Spirit. And I probably need to say this again. Godly humility is strength under the control of the Holy Spirit. And we're still speaking about humility now. In Matthew 20:26-28, Jesus said to his disciples, "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And in Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, "Learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." And I would like now to talk to you about humility just a little bit more. Why is humility so very important? Why is it the word coming up so often in scriptures? Well, to put it simply, there are two spiritual kingdoms at war in this world: the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. We are in the very center of it. Now, in terms of the kingdom of God, we were included in this kingdom by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And by his act of humility, obedience to God, and faithfulness to God. And that's outlined in Philippians 2:5-11. And the other kingdom is the devil's kingdom. And that was established by an act of pride, which is the very opposite of humility. Pride, disobedience to God, rebellion against God. That's outlined in Isaiah 14:1-15. It's important because humility keeps us firmly in the kingdom of God. Pride, on the other hand, puts us in danger of migrating outside of the kingdom of God. So, what I'd now like to do is to share with you a slide where we talk about assessing Timothy based on the criteria that we use to assess the Philippian brethren. I'll remind you what they are: faithfulness to God, humility in serving, obedience to the word of God, and demonstrating a transformed mind. So, Paul writes here in Philippians 2:19-22, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." No one like-minded. In Philippians 2:5, It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if we accept that Paul is Christ-minded, Paul is saying that Timothy is also Christ-minded. So I believe that Timothy is demonstrating a transformed mind. Goes on, who will sincerely care for your state? Now, we know that Jesus is the chief shepherd, and Timothy, as a pastor, is a shepherd of the flock. And Paul is saying that there's nobody else like Timothy who will sincerely care for you. So we can come to the conclusion that Timothy is demonstrating humility in serving. Paul goes on to say, for all seek their own. They are self-seeking. They don't put God first, they put themselves first. They seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Paul is saying Timothy is different. Timothy will seek the things which are of Christ Jesus first. And that tells me that Timothy demonstrates faithfulness to God and obedience to the word of God. But you know his proven character, says Paul. And I'm reminded of Galatians 5. 22 to 23, where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, and each fruit is a character trait. So Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit has transformed Timothy's character, transformed his mind. So again, we're talking about the transformation of the mind of Timothy. That as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Again, that's alluding to humility in serving. So I think we've come to a conclusion that Timothy, as well as the Philippian brethren, all of them, by these criterion, by Paul's words, shows that they are indeed role models whom we can all look to. So we come to the point of application. Faithfulness to God. Faithfulness is one of the characteristics of God's ethical nature, meaning his moral principles. It demonstrates God's reliability and unchanging principles. This is what we should try to reflect in our walk, and this is what I believe the Philippians demonstrated, humility in serving. Humility is about getting over ourselves and bowing to the will of God. We can't even see around the next corner, but God sees our whole journey. Obedience to the word of God. The gospel is all about being obedient to the word and will of God. It takes humility to obey. And finally, in Romans 12:2, talking about transformed mind. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I look at all this and I feel I need to ask the question, how do I measure up? And perhaps we should be asking that same question, how do we measure up?